Hello and welcome to the Parent Survival Kit podcast. From surviving to thriving in your household, my name is Gene Schwalen. Next to me, as always, my beautiful bride, Dr. Sonia Schwalen, pediatric expert psychologist and nationally certified school psychologist. And today we actually have a very special guest. I'm so excited. He's one of my favorite people in the whole entire world.
As I should be.
Gino, thank you for joining us. So Gino is our 17-year-old son. He's getting ready to graduate from high school and going to be turning 18 here in just a few months. And so parents, today we're going to interview a high school student, give you all the ins and outs of what really goes on in high school behind closed doors, all the things you really want to know that your kids won't tell you. Gino's going to lay it all out there for us. So I hope you're ready. You got to watch this episode all the way through. So, all right, Gino, question one. Parents want to know, what is lettuce?
As you can see here, you know, got some, get the long hair. You used to call it lettuce. That's what we called it in like sophomore year.
Okay.
Year.
So it's not cool anymore.
I mean, I haven't really heard anybody call it lettuce anymore, but if you want to, then it's cool, man.
All right. So, you know, Gino, we're going to reflect.
We're already outdated on the lettuce term.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got to move on. So, Gino, yesterday you had your very last tennis match, varsity tennis match of your high school career. Tell us about it.
Well, we were playing the number 3 seed, who were pretty good. And we got whipped around the first set and the second set, you know, it was kind of the same thing. Couldn't get really many points off. And then, so like the last couple points, they were serving to me and I got the return back. And then as they were going to hit the ball, I kind of started tearing up and then it was just over. And then I just got a lot of emotions from that because, I mean, I guess you never know when the good things are going to end, or even if you do, it's still emotional. Because that's like one of the good things in your life that just had to end. I tried to hold it back, you know, but, it was just kind of hard because I spent 4 years of my life. Well, 5, if you count the last year of middle school, just 5 years of playing with the same people. And that's all that's starting to end. So it just gets emotional because you never know if you'll be able to do it like that again. So.
Yeah, at a competitive level, right?
Yeah.
It's quite a bit different. Well, it makes me think back to when you were like 3 and 4 years old when I was coaching your T-ball, and then we went from flag football, and then we went to select baseball, basketball for many, many years. It was kind of like me reliving that, you know, that childhood memories of me competing and whatnot. So you'll definitely have some opportunities in the future to kind of relive some of those memories in a different way. But it's tough, right?
Yeah.
So basically you're telling Gino to make sure he lives vicariously through his children?
No, not at all, doctor. I'm just saying you have to enjoy some of those moments again. I remember when you started playing for middle school, it was kind of like heartbreaking for me too. That's kind of like when that time was over, because now I don't get to coach you and watch you and have that same relationship with you anymore. And now you're playing for the school and, you know, I just have to sit back and watch, which was also a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot different. So speaking of sports, tell me what...
Hold on, I just want to let you know, Gino, like, you talking about that, that's like this whole podcast. Like, essentially, we're always talking to the parents out there about how to make sure that you let your child have a space to just, like, communicate how they're feeling, what they're thinking, be non-judgmental about it, make it safe for them to talk about things like that. So what you just did... just like putting yourself out there like that, that's a big deal because a lot of kids struggle to do that. You got, you know, 2 of your parents sitting right here and you just like put it out there. So I think that's really cool of you. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, definitely. And it's probably maybe even a little bit more difficult as a young man because we're supposed to be big and tough and strong and we don't ever cry, right? You know, never. So, you know, it's really good to see that vulnerable side of you, for sure. So tell me, what did you learn through tennis? What did tennis do for you, you know, to kind of prepare you for different things in the future from a team perspective? Tennis, you know, can be individual or you play doubles with a partner. But you guys were a team as well. In fact, you were back there today just because you had one team member that made it to the finals and whatnot. So tennis is a team sport in high school for sure. Mm-hmm. So what's that do for you? What's it prepared you for? What are some of the things you can reflect on?
I mean, I feel like tennis, obviously, it's kept you in shape, you know. It's a very tough sport for physically and mentally. I feel like that it has gave me new friendships and also kind of like, in a lot of sports like football, like you hit each other, you're not really respectful to the other person. But tennis and golf, for that matter, is kind of like those sports that, like, even against your opponent, like, you're still friends. Like, you see a lot of the kids out there, even if we're playing, like, our rival, which is Boyd, you know, you still see, after the matches, no matter who won, you still see kids from each school's, like, talking and hanging out and still being friends. So I feel like it's gave me many friendships and also just to meet new people, no matter, like, if they beat me or whatnot, and also, like, a respect for the other player, and, like, respecting your enemies or your rivals or the person you're playing. And,
well, speaking of sports and tennis and whatnot, so you were always a baseball and basketball player growing up, and then in middle school you were a five-sport student-athlete and an honor student-athlete at the same time. In fact, you're the only kid in your middle school history that's ever done five sports and also made the honor roll. So you were in football and cross country at the same time. Mm-hmm. You played basketball, and then you did tennis and track at the same time as well. So do you feel like sports has kind of put a little bit of confidence into you? Or is there some certain things that you can actually just think back on that sports have contributed to really kind of the person you are today?
Yeah, I feel like sports definitely has given me confidence, and it also gives you a certain level of kind of that, like, feeling of, like, a role model, you know? Like, people are like, oh, you're that kid that is on the basketball team that, you know, like, made the game-winning shot. Like, it kind of gets you recognized in your school. But it also holds you accountable because, you know, if you're not passing your classes, you can't play. And if you're someone like me that, like, is competitive, wants to play, and also wants to win, then it kind of gives you that aspect of, like, you know, I need to be passing my classes, I need to have good grades in order to play those sports and have fun with it. And then also it kind of teaches you, growing up, playing sports also has taught me to, like, you know, respect your coaches and your teachers, because, like, those are the people that are, like, guiding you through the sport. And more times than not, they also, like, help you with your classes and, like, just, like, hang out with you, talk to you, you know. So it kind of teaches you to, like, respect the people above you in a sense. That's all I got to say for that one.
Well, I remember some times you mentioned basketball on the basketball court. You were one of the smaller players on the court, no matter what team you guys played. And, you know, you were the point guard and taking the ball to the hole and getting knocked around, never left a game without scratches and blood and bruises and whatnot. But, you know, do you think that's given you, like, perseverance and just a will to survive and to, you know, always press forward and to continue on and not let things get you down?
Oh, for sure. I remember there's the district basketball tournament, eighth grade, the last tournament of the year before I became a high schooler. And we were playing Cockrell, and I was going for a ball, and a kid stuck his hand out for the ball, and then he ended up scratching my eye. And my eye got all red and was bleeding a little bit, and I couldn't really see out of my eye. And I wanted to go out and play so bad. I wanted to continue playing, even though I couldn't really, I was like one eye.
And one eye really, huh?
Yeah, I couldn't even see anything. But I still wanted to go out there and play. They wouldn't let me, so, and it was the last tournament. And it just, I don't know, that got me upset as well. But I feel like it made me, like, I love the sport so much, I want to go back out there and play. Like, I feel like in sports, no matter what happens, you just still want to go out there and overcome it and, like, be better because of it, or just go out there and win and help your teammates out. So I feel like that's one thing that, like, getting beat up in sports has taught me.
Got to keep fighting.
Yeah.
No matter what. Till the last bell has rang, the buzzer's gone off, last inning, last pitch, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Last serve. Mm-hmm. All right. So speaking of school sports, you know, one thing that we want to dive into a little bit is trying to get into some of the things that you've experienced in high school, some of the peer pressures, some of the challenges of high school and whatnot. So in high school sports, you guys are potentially drug tested randomly. Is that correct?
Yeah. Not just in sports, but if you are in any UIL event, which is sports, band, orchestra, you have the potential to get unanimously drug tested.
Okay. So have you ever been drug tested?
I have not.
No? Okay. Do you have any friends that have been?
Yes.
Do you know any friends that have actually failed their drug test?
Not any of my friends personally, but I've had friends talk about how someone they know failed. Like friends they know or people they know have failed, yeah.
Okay. So, speaking of drugs, what type of pressures have you experienced throughout maybe high school, maybe even back to middle school, with just pressures of people wanting you to try drugs or knowing friends and whatnot who have tried drugs?
I haven't had too many peer pressures with drugs, but I have had people, like, or friends that, like, who have smoked weed or whatever and wanted me to try it, but I said no, and because, like, I knew, like, I was gonna get drug tested and I just, like, didn't want to try it, didn't want to have the potential to get kicked out of sports and stuff like that, but definitely there's friends of mine that, like, spring break, that's when a lot of people, like, want to smoke weed or do drugs and whatnot. And then that's when a lot of them get caught, is after spring break. That's when a lot of the drug testing happens, because they have a week off of school. So they feel like, oh, it's not going to stay in your system and stuff like that. But I feel like the peer pressuring is just, like, it's like people try to peer pressure me. It's just like they want, they're like, oh, you're not going to be cool if you don't do it. Like, it's like, if you don't do it, then you're not cool. And then if you're not cool, then you're not liked. So that's, what, like, it has done for me.
So it's definitely challenging, right?
I mean.
So let's break that down a little bit. 'Cause the parents listening, I mean, this is such a big issue, right? You just said, like, if you don't do it, you're not cool. If you're not cool, you're not liked. So it's not just sports that is at stake for you. It's social acceptance that's at stake, right? And then I'm just curious, like, do you ever hear your parents' voice in your head too?
Yeah, for sure.
What do you think about?
Like, I think about, like, if I do this, what's going to happen? Like, what is the result going to be? Like, anything. Like, I can hear my dad's voice, like, talking to me.
Yeah.
Like, when, like, he what said, is he going
to
say?
You know, when he said, has sports taught you how to persevere and survive? And I'm like, man, just having you as a dad has probably done that for him, right?
So what are some of the things? Like, so what's one thing I told you, though?
But when you say no, right, and you're risking not being cool, not being liked.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? Why are you okay with saying no if that means that people are going to think you're not cool?
Well, because you, personally, you know, like, your values, and you know that it's not right. And if you say no, then you know that you're not going to have anything to worry about ever, whether it's addiction or getting kicked out of school or whatever. You're not, you know, you're good, and that you're also good for sticking what you believe in, and just doing the right thing.
So your value system, like, you've really taken time, you've thought through this, you know what you stand for and what you're okay with and what you're not okay with, and ultimately, even if the kids at school reject you or think you're not cool, right, you're not going to compromise your values just for them to accept you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So speaking of, like, fitting in and being the cool kid and whatnot, I know how it was for me when I was in school, but what is it, like, what is the cool crowd? What makes them the cool crowd, the cool kids at school? What are they doing? What do you have to do to kind of fit in or get in with them?
Personally, the cool crowd is, like, the kid, it's the big, there's like two cool crowds. So there's the kids with money who are the cheerleaders, and the people who party or host parties, you know, like drive BMWs, you know, stuff like that. And then there's the other cool squad, which is like all the football players, and they also party, but they're just like it's a big group of them. So like everyone knows who they are because they play football, and then everyone knows who they are because they're cheerleaders, and they like party, their parents let them party and stuff like that. And I feel like that's what the cool crowd is, are those kind of people.
So you said like their parents let them party. So is that kind of a common thing, that there are a set of parents and a set of kids who, like, are allowed to do those things at their parents' home, allowed to invite people over and drink and do drugs even though the parents are at the house?
Yeah, honestly, no matter where, like, what school you look at, there's definitely always going to be those types of kids and parents. There's always the parents who let their kids drink and do drugs, and, like, don't really care about, like, their grades and stuff like that. They don't really hold their kids accountable, and let them basically just do whatever they want. And then those kind of kids, those are the ones who host parties, who party all the time, and like don't really go to school. They don't really care about school. And then there's parents that like only let their kids drink, but also like don't really care about what they do, and there's pretty much those kind of kids at like any school you look at. There's definitely kids at like that at every school.
Yeah, well, and you know, you've had clients that, you know, parents let their kids drink, but as long as it's at their house and they have some control over it and whatnot, it's okay. And you know, there's a lot of that goes on.
Yeah, and you know, I meet parents of all different walks of life and all different value systems for how they're parenting, right? But we're doing an interview with a kid at a school in high school, right? Like 17-year-old in high school. So for you, from your perspective, you know that there's going to be all different kinds of things that different parents are going to allow kids to do, and you have to go to school with them. Mm-hmm. So what's it like for you, right, to be kind of in that setting when there's like so many different backgrounds, so many different things that parents are letting their kids do? How do you survive that? I mean, you go to such a big school, there's so many pressures, there's so many different groups of kids. Like, if you could tell parents that are listening, like, what do you want them to know about how they can help their kid through all of that? Because it's inevitable, it's real world, right? Like, there's gonna always be different people, different walks of life, different value systems. How do you navigate that as a 17-year-old kid in high school?
Personally, I go to school, I go to my classes, I talk to the kids in my classes here and there, get my work done, and then I go to tennis, and then those are like my main friends, like are the sports friends, or kids that I was in band with. Those are like the main friends. And if you, for picking friends or staying away from that stuff, just find out like what they're about, like what do they do, like what is it like hanging out with them, like do they like try to make you do stuff you don't want to do, and if they do, then those are probably not the people you want to hang out with. Like people that make you feel uncomfortable, like whenever someone makes you feel uncomfortable, you don't want to be around them anymore. So why would you want to be friends with someone that makes you uncomfortable?
So are you telling other kids that? Like, do you think parents should also get to know the kids that their child is spending time with?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, well, let's kind of dive into that a little bit because, I know that you've had some struggles with some friends and some of their value systems and whatnot. There were some kids in your baseball team that you were hanging out with for a while, and they were definitely challenging you in different areas to do some things that you ultimately knew was really not the best. Mm-hmm. So they were some of your best friends for a period of time. It was a short period of time.
Yeah.
And now you don't even really talk to them anymore. So what was that like going through that, having friends that were trying to influence you, strongly encouraging you in different areas, and then ultimately having to make a choice to stay away from them or continue on that same path? I mean, what was that like?
After I stopped talking to them and hanging out with them, my life got a whole lot better, honestly. I was more focused, and I got a job at Walmart, and I was working, and just kind of, like, focusing on my family more and hanging out with my family more than going and hanging out with these friends that weren't doing the right thing and were also challenging me to not do the right thing. So it just made myself feel a lot better. I just felt like I had nothing to worry about, nothing to hide, and I could just like be with my family, who are the people that like truly love me. And then I was going to work, which also kept me busy, and also making money, which is a good thing. But it just allowed me to really like find who I am and who I want to be with, friend-wise, and also just made me, build myself up to a better self, you know.
Yeah, so those are definitely some challenging times, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't hurt too bad that you had a bonus mom PhD over here, right?
I think you... First of all, like being so open and sharing everything that you're sharing is so helpful, because if there are other kids your age listening, it's really important for them to see, like, hey, there are other kids out there that do make choices to walk away from hard situations, and I don't have to stay in something just because I'm afraid of being unpopular. Like, I can decide for myself what is right for me. And so that's a really cool thing that you're, like, ultimately being a role model for right now. Because we can talk to our kids about it all day long, right? But because it's coming from us as parents, it's not necessarily the cool thing or the right thing that they want to hear. If they hear it from a peer, like a kid their own age who's going through it also, it's a different kind of impact.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so... you know, you've been through some struggles and whatnot. All kids are going to, doesn't matter how great they are, and you are a great kid, and we're very blessed, you know, to have such a great kid. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. It's just really been amazing just watching you and your journey grow in different ways. But you've had some challenges because of the world that we live in and the kids you're going to come across and the different types of kids that are out there. And a lot of times, you've even seen this through some of your friends, that some of your friends are going through different things they're struggling with that may be a bad influence, but they also are having a very hard time in their own personal home life. Mm-hmm. You know, can you speak to that a little bit? Some of the things that you've just seen with some of your friends and what they've experienced in their own family life that has really made it tough for them?
I only really know about one friend that I used to have, and kind of knew a little bit what he was going through that made him do some things he probably shouldn't have done. But his parents ended up getting a divorce, and his dad wasn't a very good person to him. And so that was whenever he talked about it, it was hard for him. And that's ultimately, like, made him do some things he probably shouldn't have done. But it's also impacted him a lot. But that's really the only one thing that I know.
So you mentioned earlier about you can hear your dad's voice or whatnot. And so what kind of dad do you think I am, if you could describe it to parents? You know, am I what is those, some of those examples you gave before in a previous episode?
The animal, like the parenting styles? I mean, this is like putting me on the spot, man. Let me think. So there's the rhino, which is a parent who is like really stubborn and doesn't listen, but it's like my way or the highway kind of attitude. There's the dolphin who can, you know, like nudge and guide and
so understand. Makes you sometimes, like, sometimes from ahead of you.
Yeah. Yeah, like understand when to like do more and do less and like balance all that out.
There's the Saint Bernard.
So there's emotional styles and parenting styles.
That's right. I'm
so
on probably a different one, right?
Yeah, and I think I'm mixing them up now too. There is, I don't know.
Let me just ask you this way. So do you think I've been a hard father, an easygoing father, or kind of a mix? Putting you on the spot. So you can just be honest. You're on camera.
I would say, I would honestly say a mix. You were hard when you needed to be, but then other than that, you were like a cool, easy dad. And then whenever I did something stupid or whatnot, you were sure to let me know about it. But that, like, I don't know. That's just what I like about you. Like, you're hard, like whenever I do something stupid, but you also are very forgiving and easy. Whenever I'm doing the right thing, and you are also very encouraging, which helps a lot.
And I give you a hug and a kiss every single day, at least once. Yeah. If not like three or four times, right?
At least once.
Even as a high school student.
Yes.
All right. We love hugs and kisses. All right. So let's talk about some fun things real quick, and then we'll switch gears again here in a minute. But what are some of your favorite interests as a high school kid, as a senior?
Over the past couple of years, I've really started to like cars.
American Muscle, from what right?
Yeah, Muscle, and they're the ones that look cool and are loud, you know. And then sports is obviously an interest. And you know, I'm a high school kid, so I like watching my movies and TV shows. And I used to play a lot more video games, but I really don't play them anymore. But
why not?
You know, just growing up, you have more focuses, and whenever you're younger, you can just sit around and play games.
Do you think you had some challenges at some times, and maybe some concerns playing too many video games?
Yeah, for sure. Video games can be suck up a lot of your time if you're not careful. And so I kind of steered away from that, and really just. I like watching YouTube. I like watching YouTube about like cars or like other things, maybe some games here and there, or just like random funny videos, you know, that people like to laugh at.
Do you do any TikTok or anything?
No.
No, you never got the TikTok?
No.
All right, so Gino, I have a question for you, okay? I want you to think back, because there's a lot of parents out there that ask me about this all the time. Device technology, video game addiction, like all of that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I want you to think back to when you were playing video games and it was like really excessive. Do you remember those days?
Yeah.
Can you talk about what that was like? Like what, how much were you doing? What was it interfering with?
Do you feel like at one point in time you may have had a gaming addiction?